What up, fam? On this episode of the Snapback Sports Pod, I went to Boston for Red Sox Yankees. We chat about that as well as Seahawks Rams Thursday night football. We've got Penn State, Iowa, Texas OU. The Knicks are playing preseason basketball. Kyrie Irving still going crazy. Stephon Gilmore gets traded to the Panthers, and we get to preview all of week five. An absolutely loaded podcast topped off with Eagleson's Dolphins back.
Snapback fam, new app.
The Baltimore Ravens select Lamar Jackson.
I'm a Raven. His own. All year. Every year.
Jackson takes it himself.
Oh! He broke his ankle!
What up, fam? I'm your host, Jack Settleman. Joining me today, and as always, my co-host and longtime best friend, who's also a major coward.
Shut up.
Abe Granoff.
Shut up.
What is on your mind today?
All right, dude. Let's just get this out of the way. The other day, we talked about your hot dog eating competition because you suck at fantasy for BR Gridiron. You do 20 hot dogs in 20 minutes. You posted the video today. What did I set your number at?
8.5
And you flew under.
What? I was under by
Shut
one.
Up, dude.
I was you under ate, by
you
one.
You ate 8 pieces of meat, 8 glizzies.
Yes. Yeah.
And 0 carbohydrates.
I probably have one bun.
One bun. That literally equates to 4 hot dogs. You're calling yourself on the timeline, oh, I'm the glizzy gobbler. Dude, you're the glizzy Gobert. Like, that was so pathetic. And let's just run through that video. You know how you post, when you post the people's pick'em on Snapchat, you're like, hand up, and it's hands down the most awkward, cringe thing in the entire world because your lanky ass fingers are just out there. That used to make me the most uncomfortable I've ever felt in my life, Jack. When I watched you spread ketchup on hot dogs with your hands and lather them up, I thought I was going to projectile. That 4.5 minute video was not only such fake news because you took your damn old time, you're talking to the camera, you're trying to learn how to burp on your own, and then you don't even eat a singular bun.
No, one bun.
Jack.
One bun for the double glizz. I had a bun for that.
That I had minimal faith in you. And in a shocking turn of events, you managed to fall so short of that faith. That,
all right, that
glizzy, whatever you want to call it, that you did for BR Gridiron was equal to how Ben Simmons played in the fourth quarter of the Hawks series.
That's cap.
No, it's
You're
not.
Just cap.
No,
it's cap. Not. All right, so let's just get some things. Let's clear the air here. Number one, the eating in silence doing the challenge is the X factor.
So you're blaming
that was not accounted
for. You're blaming
for.
The no home court advantage. Okay, that's one.
No, not even the no home court advantage. Just the fact that, like, the people recording it, right, Bleacher on the other side, they were just keeping a timer, and they would let me know, you know, different minute marks. But I'm sitting in a room by myself just facing glizzies. Okay, so that's one. You know,
I feel,
the
like,
crowd
I
environment
feel like we're making a – right now we're on the verge of making a – Jack said I'm in hot dog bingo board for excuses why you didn't perform.
Number two.
Oh, here we go.
There
Here's
were
the letter
three
I.
hours before this podcast where you could have easily gotten 20 hot dogs in your possession.
I
easily.
Didn't lose
do you know
in
how
fantasy.
Do you know how easy it is to get hot dogs? Apparently very. Shake Shack has them. Tasty Burger
I've had,
has
I've
them.
Had Shake Shack glizzy.
Okay. So I don't understand. Because for over a year now, you've been telling me I could eat 7 in 10 minutes. So where are you? Where are you? You're in front of me with not a damn hot dog in front of your face. So
do you
I
think?
Just
do you,
say,
all right, I get that. I get that we've been talking about this
but,
for over
but
a year.
You're
but
saying,
do you think McGregor just takes any fight like against a Joe Schmo?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Or does he wait for the right bag to get and a fight that's worth his time?
All I know is it is a stone cold fucking lock that 7 hot dogs in 10 minutes with buns is just never going to happen for you. I will say, I did knock out seven meats in 11 minutes.
I think quite impressive. I think I could eat in 20 minutes meat alone, no bun. I think my line is 13 and a half, 14.
I'll take out a loan on every house I know in America and just me. Pound just me. That under. Pound the under. But no, we're not going to do just meat because you're saying I didn't need any carbs. And honestly, the carbs are obviously the toughest part. You got to dunk them in water. Then the buns were delicious, though.
How would you know?
Because they were actually helping me get through. There's a point of no return where you can't even think about putting another tiny piece of hot dog in your mouth.
You're like, mentally weak.
I said in the video, I would love to see someone beat this score.
The Glizzy Gobert. But you cannot sit here and tell me that you ate 8 hot dogs in 20 minutes. You didn't.
I ate 8 hot dogs. I didn't eat 8 hot dog sandwiches, maybe.
Well, a hot dog's not a sandwich, so you can't do that.
Well, I that's all I'm saying.
You did not eat 8. I will give you 4.75 hot dogs consumed.
Nah.
You ate one bun.
I don't know what was good with my stomach either. I didn't eat in the morning, so my stomach wasn't opened up. I didn't know any strategies. I'll tell you the point where I was doomed. I ordered the hot dogs on the phone. I asked because I placed them online, but I wanted to call and make sure that they could do 20 hot dogs. He's like, yeah, no problem.
I mean, a hot dog store should have 20 hot dogs.
It was called Tasty Burger. This is no hot dog store. They were fantastic hot dogs. That was the annoying part. Fantastic hot dogs. But I call, manager's like, yep, we can do it. I walk in, and there's people in front of me in line. There's nothing on the pickup order. And I get to the front, and I look up, and the guy goes, 20 hot dogs? And I'm like, yeah, how'd you know that? He's like, you look like you're about to go through something. You look depressed. I was like, you're right, I am. And I didn't throw up, and I didn't want to throw up because I didn't want to ruin, 3 days of my life throwing up hot dogs.
Oh, my God.
So I'm proud
of you. You are crying.
I'm proud of that. You know what? When that bag comes along.
You can look at that performance and say you're proud of it.
Very proud. Because everything I've stood for over the last year, which is calling you a liar and a failure when it comes to this challenge, was confirmed in those 20 minutes that you would have no shot
at 20 minutes with buns. How many am I eating?
With buns. Absolute max is 8. Absolute max. Like not even a question.
And think about how hard it was, Jack. How hard, looking back on your time yesterday and recording that video, or 2 days ago, whatever it was. Think about the amount that you ate. And if you would have said, let's add 7 buns.
That's my point.
Exactly, Jack. So 8 is kind of impressive, I would say.
No, what do you mean? You said you could do 7 in 10 minutes. So
that might have been a little ambitious.
Oh, now we're ambitious.
But that doesn't take away from the fact that your performance was absolutely despicable.
All right. So let's get some consistency on this podcast, and let's see you attempt it.
But you got to make it worth my while.
Okay. All right.
I'm not just a little... pawn me out to any other boxer to fight, Jack. This is Glizzy Granoff.
I don't know if you're Glizzy Granoff. I think you're Cap right now. You're a lot of talk. You might be Wash McGregor.
You want to be Glizzy Gobert or Glizzy Garoppolo? You can have your pick of the choosing.
I'm done with the Glizzies. And I didn't have one at the game last night, but I would have. So I wasn't.
Would have if what?
If the lines weren't long. That's all.
That's fair. I'll give you that.
Thursday Night Football, Seahawks-Rams.
Great game.
Oh, I didn't even put on this list. Let's go through this quickly because this is going to be potentially a long pod. I didn't even write down college football this weekend. I mean, we got a weekend for ourselves. But first, let's pay our respects. Seahawks coming off a win. Russ carries the Seahawks last week. Rams.
MVP.
Rams coming off a big loss to the Cardinals. They did not look very good. Thoughts on this game?
Where is it?
It's in I think it's in Los Angeles, if I'm not mistaken. But let me just
that would make check. Me think that the Rams play literally every game at home.
That's what. That's why I'm like, there's no. Okay, it's in Seattle. It's in Seattle.
I was gonna say, like,
Seattle's +2.5. Congratulations to the Seahawks on winning the football game.
1,000%.
1,000%.
The Seahawks are to win this game.
The Rams, who look, if the Ram and if the Rams had won last week, I would take all the money that I'm gonna win from you going under on hot dogs and place it on the 2-2 Seahawks against the undefeated Rams. Now there's some they could bounce back, but
this is Rams versus Bucks a few weeks ago all over again.
Exactly. And it's sometimes it's the team it's that literally won the NFC 2 weeks ago is now gonna be 3-2 and two games back in the division.
It's sometimes sports are so easy.
Very easy. Last night
they literally tell you who is going to win the game. And this is the perfect example of that. Jack and I have made a lot of money sports gambling for you guys over the last 2+ years. Jesus, 2+ years. What are we doing, Jack?
Why? And you still haven't done the hot dog challenge. That's how long it's been. Because you're a coward.
Give me a fight.
You're the Carson Wentz of podcasting.
Watch your fucking mouth.
You think you can do all these things, but you know what? You can't. So why don't you prove me wrong? That's all I'm going to say.
I think I'm more of the... I was going to say...
I don't know if the Seahawks are going to win, actually. They're like... This is a nightmare matchup for them. The Rams with John Wolford beat them and just destroyed Russ and that O-line. The Rams are really talented. I think they might have just had a bad game on Sunday. And the Cardinals are really good, too.
Cardinals are going to the Super Bowl if they win this week. I got to wait till a quarter of the way through the season to proclaim that. No, the Seahawks are going to win this game. And honestly, handily.
I don't think it'll be handily. I think I am having a tough time picking the winner because this feels like a Russ primetime game. And what I mean by that is just like, absolute madness, like insanity on Twitter, ridiculous everywhere. Like,
they're wearing, does this change your mind at all?
They're wearing the neon,
bright neon green jerseys.
That like, just when means I it's saw, gonna be crazier. Tyler Lockett,
when I saw what the when I saw what the Chargers wore on Monday night, that's when I knew they were gonna win that game. First off, I handicapped that game to perfection. I've been right about so much shit this year. Something's going to go bad.
Yeah, something's going to go hard. The Cardinals might miss the playoffs. All right, speaking of playoff, ooh, baby, this is a big one. Penn State visits the Iowa Hawkeyes, 3-4. You're telling me the Iowa Hawkeyes and the Penn State Nittany Lions are the third and fourth best team in the country. Say that out loud for me. And
I can't.
The straight face. It makes no sense.
Bro, you know what I had the thought of? Like, this won't happen. Because of how good Georgia and Alabama are. But, like, if Penn State were to win on Saturday and, like, move up in the rankings 2 spots to number 2, just seeing them grouped with an Alabama or a Georgia at the top is just
and the best part is, no matter who wins the game, this game's not going to be a blowout. The two teams are not built to blow
anyone out. Jack, this game's going to be, like, 12-8.
That's what I'm saying. And because of that, people are going to declare that, well, they lost a tough game, whether for you on the road or for them by a field goal, and they'll move the other team down like 3 spots and be like, you know what? They're still really good, when it's just because they're the prime example of being above average football teams.
Thank you. You just call us above average?
Above average. I don't even know. You guys are not very good. The defense is legit. I'll give you that. But it's legit against Big Ten offenses and Bo Nix, which is really not saying much. So,
I mean, yeah, the offense has been better, right? The weapon, Jahan Dotson is like a magnet for the end zone. The running backs are great. Can Clifford throw the ball? I don't know.
But I don't know if their guys can.
The good news is this is a 4 o'clock game.
That is.
You know what I mean? So we're not going to have the Iowa wave at halftime.
You'll have it going into the fourth quarter, and it'll be like 6:30 at night.
But it'll be a sunset. Like, it's not as, you know.
I think it might get the job done.
I don't think. The only reason I think we're going to win this game is because it's being played at 4 p.m. Now, in the grand scheme of things, this game on Sunday or Saturday really doesn't mean that much. Iowa's still in the Big Ten West. We're in the Big Ten East. Like, if we want to get to where we want to go, as usual, it's going to come down to Columbus or against Michigan or Michigan State. We can lose this game, somehow beat Ohio State, and maybe be a one-loss Big Ten champion that can find their way in. Because
that normally normally goes well for you guys.
Oh, yeah, really well. If you look around the Big Ten, the Big Ten's got some teams this year.
No, they don't.
Ohio State is
the worst they've been in 5 years.
Sure. I'm talking about, do they have numbers next to them? Ohio State, yep. Penn State, yep. Iowa, mm-hmm. Michigan. Mm-hmm. Michigan State's a top 12 team or something out of nowhere.
What? Michigan State's ranked top 12? No shot.
I think they're 11, dude.
What?
And we have to go.
So you guys are in danger of your annual New Year's Six Bowl.
I mean, if we don't go to the playoff, I hope we don't make a New Year's Six. Why would you want to do that? But you got Michigan, you got Penn State at 4, Ohio State at 7, Michigan at 9, Michigan State at 11, Texas at 21. Listen, man, there's a lot of teams at the top.
Is there any technical analysis you can give me on the game, or your takeaway is 4 p.m. good time for Penn State?
4 p.m. good time for Penn or bad time for Iowa, should I say? Listen, man, this game, you know, here you go, Jack. Prime example, A1 example. This game's going to be one in the trenches.
That is.
Iowa always has a stout offensive line. The Penn State defensive line are animals, you know. Who's gonna get their shoulders lower? You know what I mean?
It's going to be such a bad game. Like, everyone already knows the first three quarters are going to be painful to watch.
Yeah, that's why I probably won't watch it.
You're going to watch it. I heard you whisper Texas earlier. So if you want to talk about College Game Day, the feature game of Saturday, we can.
Oh, you got a College Game Day this late in the season already?
I'm not understanding.
We already had it against Auburn.
Oh, Bo Nix brings the Game Day crew to town. Well, I'll be in Dallas for the game. And apparently, Casey Thompson, CT11 as the kids are calling him,
How'd he play last weekend?
He played pretty average. And by, you know, average for him means 34 on the road, beat a team that is, you know, consistently defeated Texas. So not impressive, but, you know, he got the job done, and we got to get the job done. Apparently the metrics are saying he can't throw outside the numbers or downfield. Tell me if you've heard that.
You love these types
the
of
The way I look at it is upside. So he can, like, he scores on every drive. So imagine if he connects on a deep ball. Exciting. Texas OU, though, from my cousin, who's as delusional as you are about most Philly things, we are apparently, allegedly, in a position to set the future of Texas football for the next decade, depending on the performance of Saturday. They're putting that amount of pressure on the game. They have,
please,
they
explain.
Have every top 100 recruit that has like an offer out to, from the number 3 kid in the country all the way to whatever, coming to the game. And every single one of the recruits, you know, these nerds read the message boards all day long. It's like, if Texas can win this game and beat Oklahoma State in 2 weeks at home, then it's like Texas is actually back.
All of these players are going on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's
going to be a disaster. Absolute.
You guys are
absolute disaster. We will not be able to score.
Like, how does this ever work out, especially for a school like Texas?
It doesn't. It just doesn't.
So before you found that out, you were all over the Horns.
Yeah. For weeks now. I will say this. Rattler stinks. He's horrible. And he's an egomaniac, too. So no one even cares that he stinks. His own fans boo him. My biggest worry in the game is, we get up big, and then they bring in the backup.
I don't think you have to.
I don't know. So there, I don't know. Tulane almost beat them. We're nice as, man.
Let's figure out how you guys lose these recruits. Is it via getting blown out of the water, or is it shooting yourselves in the foot and a heartbreak like you guys had? Was it an overtime last year?
Yeah, I
with the fumbles. What's more Texas?
It's different, though. With all we have Sark. We have an actual coach this year.
Alcoholic. Got it.
I think, realistically, the way we lose the recruits is when they come back to commit, and then we, like, lose by 3 touchdowns to Oklahoma State at home as, like, the number 12 team in the country. That's...
Remember what I said. You guys go to Baylor. I am hammering the Bears.
We're going to win out and go to the playoff because Casey Thompson's a GOAT. I'm very excited for the game. But that's not even my best team that I have.
Here we go. How can we make this work? How can we make a wager with Texas's ranking at the end of the year versus the amount of glizzies I can eat in 20 minutes?
I don't know. But...
Emma, do I get +4 if you think you're going to make the playoff and lose in the first?
+4. I mean, what happens if we finish 22nd, which is way more probable? You're going to have to eat 26 hot dogs in 20 minutes? That wouldn't be a very good wager for you. You might want to rethink that strategy. There's a lot of moving pieces there. Anyways.
I need a glizzy to Longhorn correlated bet.
Yeah, we'll work on it. The Knicks, man. The NBA season is in 2 weeks.
What, how the fuck did we start that with the Knicks?
It's on the list that I created for this episode.
Oh, yeah, I didn't get a hand in this list today.
That's never how it works. NBA season 2 weeks away. We'll have our NBA preview in the next 2 weeks, of course. But the Knicks played a preseason game last night. I was at the Red Sox game, so I just caught the highlights. Kemba Walker hitting fucking step back threes. What is that? I've never seen that from a point guard on the Knicks. Evan Fournier just pouring in buckets from the corner. Whop. Wet. RJ. Wet. Randall. Yeah, did Tibbs play him 30 minutes in a 21-point preseason? Sure. But you know what? How else?
You got to get his legs under him.
You
got to
help him find his legs. Taj Gibson starts. I think he scored 14 points. Not only are the Knicks the deepest team in the league, but let me break this down for you.
Let's go back. Let's
start
with
on
the
bench. That's fine. That ain't no problem.
That's how you have to determine depth, okay. Right?
Go. All right. Off the bench, Derrick Rose, who was spectacular last year. Some would say sixth man of the year if he was in New York the entire time.
Candidate for sixth man of the year.
Okay.
I'll give you
right.
that next.
Nerlens Noel. What? One of, if not
one
the
of,
best defensive centers in the league last year at the rim. Just incredible
Jack,
efforts from him. Incredible.
Jack, what is the talk to
you
me
didn't
about
watch.
The
he was
between,
a rim stuffer.
No, I get that. Talk to me about the difference between or the similarities between centers in the NBA and running backs in the NFL.
I want a guy who protects the rim, and I want a guy who scores touchdowns. And I just want a guy to do that job.
But do you want to pay that
you're obsessed with the pay of him, but just
Nick
just
Chubb
because
money?
We have Mitch on a rookie deal and we get incredible value for our starting center does not.
You get a lot of value for a guy that played half
oh,
the game
oh,
last
are we talking about last year when we were the four seed, or are we talking about this year's depth? Which, choose one, pick one. Nerlens Noel at
both
the rim.
Both are disastrous.
Obi Toppin, this is his year, man. He's going to be very average, which would be,
the only way is up.
He made a crossover, hezzy spin, finish, amazing. He made it. Burks.
Nice.
You know Burks. You know fourth quarter Burks. Look, will he go 2 for 12 and in 7 games? Yes. But he'll have 7 games where he pours in 12 in the fourth, and he'll win you a couple games. Burks off the bench with Rose. Got a nice scoring duo there. Emmanuel quickly, you know the deal on him, a young Dame Lillard type.
How many guards are coming
those
off the
three,
bench?
Those three. And we've got, I think we have others. It's too much depth. You know, sometimes I lose
now,
track.
Now, tell me about the players that have never played in the NBA before.
What do you mean? Rose, like the MVP, Derrick Rose? Or something?
No, like the rookies.
Oh, no, Miles McBride and Dotson. They won't even get minutes. That's how deep we are. Two first-round picks won't see the floor,
gotcha.
Right? Like the Pistons, they're playing their first-round pick. We're not playing either of ours.
Oh, so now you're putting your team in the conversation with
No, it's just like how do the Bucks play their rookies? Do the Nets play their rookies? No.
So when I said last year when you were saying Tyrese Maxey can't even get tick on this squad.
I don't know.
You get to a certain level, you're rookie. But so we're talking about the Knicks depth and their bench, and that's gonna be it. That's gonna propel them.
No.
That's gonna help them. So where is the Knicks' final destination this year?
The conference finals. The
regular season.
What seed are we? It depends, you know, injuries and Stips, of course, but Stips. Right. But in a normal season, I see like top three seed pretty easily. No questions asked. You say Jesus Christ, they were the four seed last year and they got better. So hypothetically, you would move up in the rankings.
Right.
And the Sixers got worse, so they'll move back. Kyrie Irving is a flat earth, no vax guy. They'll move down. The Bucks, they're a good basketball team. But we did have the Bucks number last year.
So you're talking coward this, coward that. You've talked about was that you're going to be better than the Sixers this year. But you're waiting for Ben Simmons to be dealt or not be dealt.
Yeah, I need to see your final roster. That's
if you want to.
No, I don't think it's being a coward. It's more intelligent, some would say. Look, you wouldn't have bet me pre-free agency on the Knicks, right? Like, you got to see what the roster looks like. That's all.
Yes, I would have.
But then we got Kemba. We got an all-star point guard who's being backed up by an MVP point guard who's being backed up by a young Damian Lillard. Like, it doesn't get better than that at the point guard spot. Meanwhile, your point guard...
Bro, Kemba's knees look like the ball of hot dog buns you had.
This is fake news, Kemba's knees. Kemba had a bad stretch. He's healthy. I've talked to him. He's ready to be in New York. New York City loves him. That's an all-star.
I'm very
How
excited
many all-stars
about
will the Knicks
I'm
have
I'm very
this
excited.
Year?
None.
Okay.
None. How many do you think they'll have? Tell me three.
I think we'll get two.
Kemba, Julius,
quickly,
or RJ?
Like, it doesn't really matter. It's just it yeah, it
Fournier. I mean, you saw Fournier in the Olympics, but it's so warming to me how the bench is such a big piece of what the Knicks are going to do this year. And yet you have Julius Randle playing 30 minutes a game.
Yeah, Tibbs is showing him he's only playing 30 a game. That's how he's maxed him out. We're going to kill everyone. We're going to be so good. It's actually disgusting what's going to happen in New York City.
When you bet me about the Sixers versus the Knicks, heads up, I'll eat the hot dogs. Bitch.
I don't even want to talk about Kyrie, that beta in Brooklyn. Stephon Gilmore gets traded for Ace.
They got to no. Speaking of trade, can they just trade him? Like, at some point, the Nets organization.
It's kind of embarrassing.
I'm going to go as far to say they're the biggest bitch in sports.
That's tight. As a tough and tight. I don't really know what I was going to. I said twife?
Like whoever's in charge of that team, it's obviously Kevin Durant, but whoever is in the suits upstairs literally has a collar around their neck with Kevin Durant walking them. At some point, they have to step in and do something about this fucking numbnut Kyrie.
I told you, I think he's going to get the release.
Now, listen, I understand Kyrie and Joel would be a great pairing, and Ben Simmons would probably open up the floor for Harden and Durant, but that's neither here nor there. This is a problem of showing up to work, and Kyrie is not doing it. He's going to be a part-time NBA player.
Once again, he's...
The dream.
Just so smart for that. He's work from home. He's literally work from home.
No, he can't work from home. He literally cannot work from home. But now I'm seeing, like, L.A. might do a vaccine mandate type thing. So if there's unvaxxed, Bron. Imagine the league turned on its head because someone found out. I know Bron just announced he was vaxxed, but imagine he, like, wasn't, and then L.A. announced that rule. ESPN would literally
the whole business, the business model.
If they had, if they had that story to deal with, Windhorst would be foaming.
Well,
at
he
the
would just
mouth,
need a new
convulsing.
Job.
While Dave McMenamin is trying to bring him back to life, but this Kyrie thing is just getting so out of control. Where at some point, somebody in that organization, it's kind of like the Dolphins when the Dolphins played for the tie a few weeks. There's got to be someone upstairs with a set of nuts that can just stick their foot in and say to this team, to this guy, to anything, what are you doing? And they
are you even talking about the vax anymore? With Kyrie? No, because like it's not just right. This isn't.
I'm saying they have to do something. They have to, if whether it's saying you have to get vax or we you cannot be a part time. Like we're gonna trade you. Like he is just not working by choice.
It's impressive.
Which is wild. All credit to him, honestly. What do you think? What do you think they should do versus what do you think is going to happen?
I really think he's going to get a religious exemption. Like, if I had to bet money, I would bet on that. What do I think the Nets should do? They got to ride it out. There's nothing to do. He's the championship piece. Like, you have to.
What?
No, they can't.
They can win a championship without him.
No, they can't.
Yes, they can. Why not?
Because they can't. They literally lost the Bucks.
Without Harden.
No, Harden played. Harden played.
No.
No.
KD.
Yes, he did.
Not in game 7.
Yes, he did.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
No, he did it.
It was just on a hamstring. He wasn't full health.
Yeah, exactly. But they could easily win without him. And it's like, Kyrie commit. Like, is Kyrie saying, I'll retire if I get traded cap of the year?
No. I wouldn't give
him
cap of the year. He doesn't care.
I don't know with him, but.
Once again, a lot of respect for him, but also, like, what are you doing? It's one of those things.
Yeah, man.
Let's talk MLB playoffs real quick. Then we'll take a break. Shout out TickPick. Get in the app. Use code Jack. No service fees on tickets. I went to the game. Red Sox, Yankees.
And you rooted for the Yankees.
I've wagered on the Yankees. I was. No, I was rooting.
You were texting me calling it Bronx.
It actually was. It was crazy how many Yankees fans there were there.
It was also crazy because I know that you said it was like 70-30 Red Sox fans, Jack. On TV, that crowd was electric. Like they
and
made,
it wasn't.
They made it seem
I'll bad, say but. That it real. It was rowdy, but it was not like I felt the same way about.
You need rally towels.
How do you not have red
like
rally towels against the Yankees? That's the biggest botch of all time.
Botch. Botch.
How about home field advantage? Like if that game's played in Yankee Stadium. The Yankees are winning that game because of the Green Monster. The Green Monster was the Red Sox best player last night. It was bizarre.
I mean, let's talk about Stanton pipping a single. I'll be honest, Jack. I have no idea how that ball didn't leave the park. When you were watching it on television, that shit with the launch angle, with how hard he swung, with the sound off the bat. Granted, it helped that he pimped the shit out of it. That looked like it was landing.
He literally hit one over the wall last week.
That looked like it was going to land in Gillette. And then, Mr. Third Base Coach. Awful. I mean, they were talking about it on TV. Like, they were giving a lot of credit the following inning to the Red Sox third base coach. Because he sent, but if you watch it,
No. I watched him in real. He said, held, then he go, then held again, then said him again.
Dude, he freaked out. He literally didn't do anything.
Correct.
The runner did everything on that play. But it came down to the left field short fence versus the right field. Much more room to work with. And Judge beats out an infield single the play before that and thinks he's freaking Juan Pierre from the 2003 Marlins or something.
I will say, say this, because obviously I was rooting for the Yankees. As is my October tradition, I'm financially involved for the Yankees. So this was the play of the game. And
When did you stop betting on the Yankees last night?
No, I didn't bet them in the ninth, which is ironically when they scored. I bet them going into the eighth. Plus 1650. One more time. But when you see the picture in the play, right? Like, Judge isn't in the frame when the catcher gets the ball. I will say, it was not even the cleanest relay I've ever seen, but like it was executed to absolute perfection to the point where the throw, perfect. Like, I actually think if the throw's to the wrong side of the catcher, I actually do think it's way closer than people think, but an awful decision given the circumstances. You're down two runs, so it doesn't even make sense.
Exactly. If you're the Red Sox, you're much more willing to take that decision because you're holding a lead at home. When you're the Yankees,
3-1,
and you're down,
3-1.
What was it at the time? 3-0? 3-1 at the time. You won second and third.
And this was the thing.
With the coldest hitter in baseball,
this is the thing.
The
Yankees, they weren't really getting many hits, but the problem was they couldn't get started all night. And this was like, you get Judge who beats out a single, you get Stanton who hits a clear double, and you get Gallo. He doesn't even need a hit, right? Like, he could still hit a pop-up, and they still score that run from Judge. It made no sense. It was an absolute panic, and it cost them the game. The second that happened, everyone was like, all right, that's game.
The MLB sticky rule cost the Yankees that game. Garrett Cole. Playoff Garrett Cole. All I hear
No,
Garrett
how about Garrett
Cole
coming
Garrett
out in the middle
that.
Of the season saying, I don't get paid to pitch these games in June. Well, when do you get paid to pitch? Because it ain't October, my guy.
Two innings.
What were they saying on TV, by the way, when Boone pulled him?
They had to. He was getting his stuff was all over the place. He couldn't hit his spots. Like, he looked like shit. And Eovaldi
cooking
was nasty. He was. I don't know. You couldn't hear it probably in the stadium, but he was throwing the ball, and every single time, Jack, it sounded like Serena Williams was hitting a forehand. He was just go. Every single time, paint the corner. Like, I honestly thought the Alex Cora was saved by the Yankees' third base coach. They pull
you didn't
Nathan
think they should have
after
him.
Five and a third. Not even. I thought Judge got and beat out an infield single. Like, he wasn't getting rocked that hard. I thought it was fine to let him finish the inning. Yeah. Granted,
Stanton
it's the third
had,
time
had
through the lineup,
him.
But the. Exactly, and then the reliever comes in and gets bailed out by the third base coach sending Judge when Stanton hits it off the wall again. Like, I texted you right away. I was like, that was a quick trigger for Eovaldi. The way that he was pitching, it's not like he started walking people. Like, he didn't walk people all night, and that's how the Yankees beat you, if you walk them. He didn't walk anyone all night, and then there's one infield single that Judge beats out. It's like, that was quick to me, but I mean, it worked out in the long run.
I came away from the game looking at a Yankees.
Oh, wait. The best part about the Yankees third base coach, they showed him on TV afterwards. He had the classic, what, that was my fault, look on his face.
The
like, just run with
my takeaway from the game. And Stanton was great. Judge was okay. And Rizzo obviously hit the home run. Those are the first three hitters. They actually came to play. The other six guys, you and Cole too. And the relievers were awful. Like, you play 162 games. You spend 9 months, essentially, playing baseball. Seven, I don't know how long. A very long time. 162 games. Way too long.
Too
it
long.
Comes down
too
to
long.
Game 162. You get into the playoffs. And then you have 3 hours. And you put up the most spineless, pathetic, embarrassing performance. Like, that was... It was an awful baseball game because the Yankees seemed like they didn't give a shit. They did not give a damn. They knew their season was ending. They didn't fight for one thing. Like, Judge's running out first was like, oh, maybe I can make this. Not like this is the play. Gardner with his half swings. He's retiring. He left the jersey on because he knows his ass is gone. It was embarrassing. I was like genuinely embarrassed for all Yankees fans because Yankees – I'm telling you, it was packed with Yankee fans. Like, let's go Yankee chants throughout the game.
That makes sense, though. Yankees
which
are
is,
like Lakers
but
fans
I'm saying,
where they just pop
then
up
your
everywhere.
Team puts out that performance. I would feel bad, like, as a Yankees fan. It was a low point on an already low last 10 years, 12 years for the Yankees.
Yeah, and bye-bye Aaron Boone about 2 years too late, probably. I was telling you they Cashman will stay, but I was telling you years ago they need to get rid of Boone. He's just awful. Like, they think that the Yankees are far beyond the Knicks, better than everyone else, and they're just not.
Pro sports team in New York, and it's absolutely disturbing to think about that.
I think Eagles.
They are. I think they went to the conference final, but they're Long Island.
You're an Islanders fan, right?
That's different. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. After the break, Week 5 NFL, and Eagleson gets the chat. Maybe we'll ask him about football. Maybe we won't. We'll be right back. All right, fam, we are back. The People's Pick'em. When was our last People's Pick'em? What did we do it for?
We became rich.
We won our last one.
Bengals Jags.
But did we do one for Monday, though? Mm-mm. No.
We're on a win streak.
And the wonderful people at Underdog Fantasy
are stepping up their shit.
Stepping up their shit, put Sunday lines. And you know what? That's better because it gives you guys 3 days to listen to the podcast. It gives us time to take advantage of bad lines. So you listen to it now. These are going to move. That's how these things work. These are going to move. So get these in quick, but it'll give us some really good lines.
Mine can move the opposite direction. Like, I'm taking two unders. It could go higher, and I'll still be fine. That's how confident I am in my two picks today.
You're right.
I'll start us off. I am betting on the unders.
No. It's the game of skill. You're picking.
I am picking on the unders of two. This is a very simple strategy. Sometimes it's right in front of your face, Jack. You always say good teams beat bad teams. Well, good quarterbacks do good quarterback things, and bad quarterbacks do bad quarterback things. Ben Roethlisberger and Daniel Jones are both bad quarterbacks. You got Ben under 245.5 yards against Denver. A good secondary, a good defense, a defense that's going to get after Ben.
I was at the Foxborough game, so I forget who they play last week, but their quarterback against Denver threw for the fourth most yards last week. So,
well, you were talking about a guy who has thrown the most air yards in the NFL this year. True. Sometimes good offense beats great defense.
True. Okay. Yeah, and Ben's not an air yards guy, so you're right. All right.
Ben takes the most steps to ever run 2 yards I've ever seen in my life. And once they get pressure on him, those 2 yard slants to Juju Smith-Schuster, he can throw them all day. He's not going to hit 245.5 yards. The same goes for Danny Dimes against the Cowboys. 285.5. You're telling me this guy's going to throw for 300
yards?
Well, it's
total yards. After this guy's faster than Lamar Jackson, Abe. Don't forget it.
Didn't know that. That's why you read the terms and conditions, kiddos. Regardless.
Yeah, I feel like you're still all over that.
It's still Danny Dimes close to 300
off
yards.
Off a huge
like, great,
game.
Off a
player
huge
of the week,
game,
literally.
Like, if you can somehow, if Underdog can add, like, can I add in Daniel Dimes, Daniel Jones to fumble this week? Like, that's what's going to happen.
He's been pretty damn good this year.
Dude.
He has. You damn. Know he has, though. Yes, oh, yes, he had.
You watch that Washington game on
he
Thursday.
He was excellent.
Excellent. It's all relative.
Abe, he's been good.
An excellent game for Daniel Jones is 230 yards, one touchdown, and not turning the ball over. And if that happens,
look, I love fading Danny Dimes off a massive week, his best week ever. So I'm with it. I mean, can I get a? I know this isn't the my two selections, but. Who calls the Jets and the Giants winning the same week? I mean, can I get a little bit of props? That's pretty insane.
Congrats, Jack.
My two selections. Look, this isn't anti-Abe. It's just I see value. Jalen Hurts under 300 total yards. Panthers, Gilmore's not playing. Don't get it twisted. Do we even talk about Gilmore? For a little, maybe. I don't remember.
Yeah, the Patriots are self-imploding and... Six-round pick. Dope.
Anyways,
he can't play till week 7,
I think. The Panthers have a good defense, not number one unit like they did 3 weeks ago, but Hurts has been putting up a lot of yards, like in losses, in wins. Well, you only won one game. In losses, more consistently, losses, a lot of losses, really, from this Philly team over the past few years, really. A lot, like, I mean, I'm talking like a lot of losses.
Land the fucking plane, dude.
Anyways, 300 yards. I think it's time to regress. I could see a slow, I mean, you got two running backs at quarterback between Darnold Jackson and Jalen Hurts. So that, of course, it is total yards now, but I just see a slow, grinded out game under. I could see this being the game where Hurts finally throws for like 200 yards. And this is like his down passing week. That Carolina D can get after it.
Listen, you're right. Carolina is as cute as they come right now. Like, they'll be ugly very soon, and we'll all see that. It helps that the Eagles' offensive line is decimated. They did put up a lot of points last week, albeit against the Chiefs' defense, but...
So do you like the selection?
I obviously hate it, but I don't really have a choice because it's your pick. The only way... with the offensive line being as decimated as it is, Hurts has been all over the field moving around. If he finds one area of space and busts a 45-yard run, you
still
could be
a lot
trouble.
Of yards. For
the amount that he runs already as is, it's like one of those, if he busts one long one,
but
this
that but
in
this
trouble.
Pick is on a low passing total. So
yeah, and this is that's going to be a losing bet.
It's a winner, and it's a losing selection. Thanks. It's a game of skill. Don't forget it. My other selection is I'm staying with the Giants, the fade Giants train. Saquon under 85.5 rushing and receiving yards. Saquon scored twice. He got them the win. He had the 50-yard touchdown catch. Listen, this line was like 65 over the past 3 weeks. Nothing has changed. Jason Garrett, like, did it. Everyone knows what Saquon Barkley is. He's a special talent. Get him the ball. Get him space. But now you think Jason Garrett's going to be like, oh, he did that last week. We should line him up more at wide receiver. No. Like, they're going to do the same thing.
It's Jason
Garrett. He's
going to
get 14 carries, 3 screen passes. And you know what? If he takes another one for 50, so be it. I lose. But he's now played in 4 games this year. In two of the 4 games, he had the 50-yard run against Washington. He had the 50-yard catch against Atlanta. He's an explosive player. But if he doesn't have that explosive play, he's nowhere near. Like, he's not having 20 carries for 100 yards. It's just not going to happen.
That's why I hate this bet. I hate but this Saquon line. Because first off, you're talking to a guy who thinks Saquon Barkley is the best running back in football. And I firmly stand by that. Because he hasn't had that holy shit Saquon.
He has.
He
had
year,
it last week.
That
yes,
wasn't like
it
a
was.
Holy shit. I'm talking like some crazy. Like, week one when he did
but it's
his gonna
happen
year
once or twice
like
this
the
isn't
USC
the week
run.
This isn't the week
this isn't
that
week.
Cowboys right, defense I mean, Cowboys are for real
Cowboys are not
all right week real. 5 preview we'll start Panthers Eagles
a lot of
yeah,
unders
we'll,
jeez
yeah
all right?
We'll start Panthers Eagles are you guys better be 1-4
maybe like how can I sit here confidently and say we're gonna win on Sunday. I can't.
You guys are a bad football team.
Yep.
And your quarterback might be bad too?
No.
Coach
is definitely bad.
Team is bad. O-line's I mean, remember preseason when I was like, the O-line is questionable? You're like, no, we're going to be good. And I was like, don't you get injured
when they were healthy.
A massive stipulation.
They were
That's like
fire.
Saying when...
In the Falcons
when Kyrie's
game, they were fire.
It's just never going to be the case. It's just never going to be the case. But maybe. But there's a sliver of hope. Yeah, you guys think the Panthers are obviously massively overrated. Like, hilariously overrated.
That's why I think we could easily win this game.
Old so Eagles, who were good. You guys stink. Like, I know this is crazy to think about. But...
We were in the game in the fourth quarter.
You were never in that football game. You were.
Like, depends how you look at it.
If you watch the box score, you were in it.
From us.
If you watch the game,
right, that's
like
what
I
I'm
did,
saying.
There was not a moment where it was like, oh, the Eagles could win. No, there was no chance.
But in the box,
like you said, you look at the schedule every year, you say 10-6 NFC East champions. You're now officially at the point where teams look at you and say, "Ooh, we play the Eagles. We get to play the Eagles." No, seriously. It's a tough change because for
I've never had that in my life.
For 10 plus years, it was like, "Oh, the Eagles are coming no matter how bad." It's like the Steelers, same thing. No matter how bad the Steelers are, you still like fear them. Now with Ben, it's like you covet that opportunity to play.
You're right, but in the same breath, history repeats itself, sure. Right? There was a Colts team a few years back that started 1-5 and ended up having
a home playoff game, not just trying to beat the Panthers.
You got to start somewhere.
Who was the quarterback of that 1-5 team?
Was it Luck?
Was it Manning? Was it Hall of Famer?
It was a few years ago.
Rivers was only last year. It was okay.
It was Luck. Or it was, yeah. Whatever. Well, they did it. Why can't we? They don't have Jalen Hurts.
Browns Chargers. This is an interesting one because people are super high on the Chargers right now, and Herbert looks spectacular. Sorry, Eagleson. Oh, Packers signing Jalen Smith. Interesting.
How many quarterbacks can you put on the Cleveland Browns this year that would catapult them to Super
How
Bowl
many
favorites?
Cornerbacks on what?
Quarterbacks could you replace Baker with in the NFL?
Cut like
that would
Kirk
catapult
Cousins,
the Browns to
lock.
Like,
and he just scored, and he only scored 7 against them. Like, you give Kirk Cousins the Browns team, I would think they're top 3 AFC favorites.
It's just like Baker
no, he
is
stinks. No.
Good.
No.
Like last year he was so accurate with the football. He finally corrected all the mistakes, and then this he year stinks. It's kind of like. And they just have the perfect recipe for a great football team. And I'm not as out on Baker as you are.
Out? I'm in.
You're in on Baker so they can sign him. I think the Browns win this one.
We are approaching Blake Bortles 2018 Jaguars territory here.
So they're going to the AFC Championship.
They're that good. They are absolutely that good. To your point, how many quarterbacks can you throw on that team and they win a Super Bowl? More than a handful, which is a scary amount. They're that good, but...
Could you put Jimmy Garoppolo on that team and have him win a Super
get
Bowl?
Get there. Similar.
Could you put Jared Goff on that team?
No. Get there. Nah. The problem is the question mark of the...
Could you put Teddy Bridgewater on that team?
Teddy's horrible. You could probably put the current status of Sam Darnold on that team and get this.
I was going to say, could you put Sam Darnold on that team? Yes. Could you put a healthy Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Fitzpatrick has always been the most overrated quarterback. He's fine.
I agree. Could you put Jacoby Brissett?
Kirk's probably my cutoff. Kirk's probably
the lowest.
You still have to be a good quarterback or.
Kirk and Darnold.
I'm not trying to push it. Right. I'm trying to think if I would go anywhere lower than Kirk and Darnold. And Darnold.
Like, you're looking like Daniel Jones territory.
Although he's playing quite well. Anyways, for this game, Browns Chargers. I think it's a toss up. I think that the Browns defense will have problems for the Chargers. But the Chargers are a good football team. I'm excited to see what they do. The real fun game is Sunday Night Football, Bills Chiefs. I've got Bills, like, potentially dominating this game. They might be for real, like win 15 games, Jalen Evie, idiot. But
who would ever say that Jalen was regressing?
I see this going one of two ways. Chiefs win the game. Other way, Bills win the game. I'm not seeing a tie on Sunday Night Football. The Chiefs defense is miserable. Made Jalen Hurts look like Lamar Jackson.
Right now.
That's tough to do. The Bills offense.
Not really. More
the Bills offense is spectacular. But I do think there's a little bit of recency bias to that. They blanked Miami and they blanked Houston, two of the worst franchises in the history of the league. And it's like you're getting Patrick Mahomes at home in a big game.
This Bills-Chiefs game is a battle of maturity. And that's why the Bills are going to win this game.
You think this is Jalen easily. Taking the step, getting over the hump?
They just care about this game more.
How many times is that going to happen, though? Like, the Chiefs can't fall to 2-3, can they? And then they just reel off a bunch of wins after that. But they got to play the Chargers again. They got to in LA, which
you know how hard it is to beat a team twice.
They
got to
play the Raiders twice. Denver could steal a game. Like, the Chiefs need to wake up. They need to wake up a little. And this,
they beat a good football team last weekend.
That's exactly what we were talking about. Monday Night Football is Ravens Colts. We just want to get it on everyone's radar because
game of the year.
Monday's podcast, which will be the full breakdown and preview, will be one of the more special podcast episodes. So we're not going to – it's game of the
game year. Game of the year.
For this podcast.
Are you going?
I am not going, although I could. I know you would probably fly. You'd probably fly to Latvia and then to Baltimore if it
– I don't know – how I watch that game in person.
I guess I could easily go to that game. Maybe
I'd wear a Ravens jersey.
You don't hate Wentz that much. Yeah, you do.
I do.
But like, give me all right. If 1 to 10, 1 being puppies and stuff you hate, 10 being Ben Simmons. I know.
I love puppies.
Like a 1 on the skip. 10 being Ben Simmons, I assume. Like, there can't be anything worse than Ben Simmons. No.
Oh, I hate Wentz more than Simmons.
That's terrible.
Yeah, no, I do. Because of his face. His stupid fucking pimple, ginger beard, ugly face. And he's just such a fake coward. Like, at least Ben is just putting his, like he's not saying shit, but, like, he doesn't give a fuck. Carson was like pretending to care and then just being a little bitch and going out and literally looking like the worst quarterback in NFL history. I said this to a ton of people. Like, Ben Simmons could win it. Ben Simmons could go to a new team and shoot 35% from three on three-pointer attempts a game. I'll still hate Wentz more than him. Also, it's just a lot more fun to hate on Wentz. Because
but you've never hated on
Ben.
Like,
so bad.
Think about everything that we have said about Ben Simmons and then go watch Game 7. And it's like, that's fun.
Right. Also, for as big as Eagles fans in general were on Wentz, I was that much more big on, and I was in on Wentz too, after the MVP year, or lack thereof, the Russell Wilson MVP year. I was that much more convinced that Ben Simmons was truly, truly LeBron James.
Lefty LeBron.
Like, Jack, right before COVID, as early as then, I literally have had this conversation with someone at work who we talked about it the other day. He legitimately asked, all right, you have to trade Ben or Joel.
No, you were you were very adamant.
The word Joel came out of my mouth instantly. Like, sometimes you got to admit you're wrong. I was wrong. But now I definitely don't want to trade Ben, but no, I'll always, always, always.
But the irony is,
hate Carson Wentz.
You won a Super Bowl with him on the roster, however you want to look at it.
I don't give a fuck. Nick Foles won that Super
Bowl. Eagleson, we've missed him. This will be, look, it's tough for you in the football world right now, Abe, because Penn State's going to lose.
Speaking of Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz's son. What's up, Eagleson?
He diced you guys up.
Like, he looked good against the Dolphins.
All right, give me the scouting report. Should the Ravens be worried?
No. Like, the Dolphins are terrible. Yeah, there's nothing to worry about.
There it is. There it is.
You can see the blonde hair coming in.
There's no blonde hair to come in because the Eagles are equally terrible. And this will be a fight to the death of who gets the 5 wins. It's going to be magical. The Ravens are 3-1, and I might be safe. Like, that's how bad your two teams are. We could tie. That's how bad.
I think we're better.
I don't know. Like,
bitch.
No, I'm not even going to say that. Like,
when you lose to Wentz, I can officially sit here and say my team's better. I don't care. I literally don't care if we lose 45-0 to Sam Darnold. The fact that, and this is why I'm so excited for Monday night. The Ravens win Monday night. Jack comes all hype, 4-1, maybe the top of the division. They're back after starting 0-1 in a bad opening night. Congrats, you beat Wentz. You lose to Wentz. Oh my God. Oh my God. Stick that ball of hot dog buns just so far up my ass. I don't even care. If the Ravens lose to Carson Wentz on Monday. I don't really give a shit about the Dolphins doing it just because I've said from the, I know Tua didn't play, but how trash you guys are, how trash Tua is. I said it before he was a Dolphin. So it's not a you thing that I'm out on Tua. It helps, for sure. Yeah. But I've been saying that Tua was going to be awful. Now he just has the Wentz injury-prone tag, which is mwah, beautiful. But your two teams back-to-back weeks playing Wentz, I'm a kidding candy over here.
Eagleson, so you're done, right? The season's toast. See,
it was after the game, and for a few days after the game, and everything was just super negative. You know, usually when your team loses, there's some people on Twitter, like, if you're a true fan, you know, like, this is all right. But there was none of that. Everything was just, this team sucks. I hate everything. But then today, of course, there's the little glimmer of hope. Okay, what if Tua comes back from this injury? And they win a few games.
Glimmer? Wait, what glimmer?
You better hope not.
This is the biggest misconception, potentially in NFL history, is Dolphins fans equating wins to Tua being the starting quarterback.
Well, it's not Jacoby. He's not good either. Don't be fooled. He is not good either.
No one would be fooled by Jacoby.
That is why we are saying your organization is dog shit and has been since Bill Clinton was in office in the United States, and Trudeau, whatever the fuck his name
was only on his first term.
His first
or when his dad was prime minister.
Oh, Trudeau's got the Trudeau family's a legacy.
Yeah, his dad was prime minister for the longest time.
Yeah, and the Dolphins haven't played in the playoffs for the longest time. Like, if the Dolphins didn't play in Miami, they would be a number one fake franchise. If they were in like, if they were the Carolina Dolphins, that's a fake franchise. With the amount of lack of success they've had, like, fake franchise has to do with geography.
Absolutely, as much Detroit, Orlando,
Cleveland,
Sacramento.
Orlando. Just like the fact that you have South Beach to hold on to, and you're not even from there, which is why you can't necessarily be called a fake franchise. But if you become the Fort Lauderdale Dolphins, oh my God, that's the fakest franchise in humans.
I can't even argue with you. Like
if a hurricane comes and you guys have to play Fort Lauderdale. Naples, Florida, and you're the Naples Dolphins for a week, woo! Slap it on them.
I can't argue with you. I was demoralized before, but that was just sad, especially the way it happened too. And to Wentz,
and I didn't
a fall quarterback.
Yeah, Flores is a coward too. It's bad.
Yeah.
It's
no, bad. I was surprised. Like a lot of his, like he won't go for it on fourth down. Coward. Like they're kicking field goals. So that was
my
bad.
Boy Orlovsky says that the Dolphins, when he watches them, it looks like they pick plays out of a hat.
Yeah,
like there's no rhyme or
it's this
them.
Dual they're offensive coordinator thing. It's so stupid.
A dual offensive
we have two offensive coordinators.
So do the Ravens on fourth down in big games. So,
Harbaugh doesn't call the plays.
Yeah, except our dual offensive coordinators throw a screen pass in our own end zone. So
you gotta keep people guessing. Maybe you know,
so zig while others zag.
Good OCs set up plays for later in the season. What could that become? Could it turn into a fumble six in the future? Like, you never know.
Maybe a slant. Maybe a slant.
You just never know.
Shout At least they Will traded Fuller. Jakeem Grant, right?
Yeah. He
got a six for that loser.
Dean told me that was – they got a six-round pick for him?
Yeah. Same as Stephon Gilmore.
Gilmore and Jakeem Grant.
Yeah, weren't the same.
That's pretty big time. Well, yeah. Thursday night, November 12th, I think is the date when I travel down to Miami for Ravens Dolphins. It might be the greatest weekend of my life. I'm going to just chill, feet up on the seats because there'll be no one in the stands. We're going to roll the Dolphins for like the 19th straight time. I'm going to spend a beautiful weekend in Miami, Florida. It's going to be spectacular. I cannot wait. Eagleson, final thoughts.
I'm not looking forward to that at all.
Yeah. Abe?
Fuck Ben Simmons.
Snapback fam, much love. Peace.